Well, hey, good morning, Crossroads. Hey, man, good to see you guys this morning. Man, if you're not awake and you're not alive, you better check yourself because that was some good worship, a good way to wake us up this morning. Hey, my name is Brian. I am the lead pastor here and so glad that you chose to be with us today. If you're a guest, man, welcome. Special welcome to you. As Pastor Jim said, we got lots of good stuff for you at the guest information desk. Make sure you check that out. And if you're joining us on the internet, I want to welcome you to Starbucks around the country. We're just glad that you're here with us today, too. Hey, listen, there are lots of good things happening as a part of the Life on Mission series that we've got going on. And we're kind of at the tail end. In fact, we are at the tail of this series. But I want to kind of share with you really cool things that happen as a result of series. And one of the things is through our CRAY ministries. Now, CRAY is our Spanish service that is offered at 2 o'clock every Sunday. So if you know someone that needs that or would be serviced by that, please consider telling them about that. But CRAY on November 22nd, a couple things happen. Now, November 22nd, they turn 5 years old. That's going to be the anniversary of their beginnings. But then also they are going to be doing a dinner for families in need throughout the Manteca area and in the surrounding areas at Pastor Aldo's restaurant right here in Manteca. They're going to invite people in for a free meal, and they're kind of the under-resourced people that would need that type of thing around the holidays. So if you know of anybody that would be serviced by that, email us here and we would love to be able to get them on the list. There's about 150 people so far that are going to be a part of it, but we know that there's more out there and we'd love to be able to serve them. But awesome stuff happening in our CRAY ministry and wanted to point that out to you to make sure you knew about that. November 22nd, keep an eye on that. The other thing too is that we have our next meeting tonight, which is our next up meeting. Now what next is really our next generation, the future of the church here at Crossroads, and we'd love for you to be involved with that to know more about what we're going to do and why we're going to do it. So if you have time tonight at 6 o'clock, I promise we'll keep you here 1 hour and you'll be able to hear more about how you can be involved in that and then also the vision of the church as it's kind of moving forward. Both Pastor Mike and myself will be there, and we'd love to have you join us there. And just as one little other caveat as you leave today, it is our benevolence weekend, so if you want to give to the benevolence, we'll have buckets at the door that you can do that as well. So, hey, listen, we are on the last week of Life on Mission, huh? Last week of Life on Mission. It's been a great series, right? Good series, all right? Good, 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 good. Excited about what God has been doing through this place, a lot of really cool things. And to wrap up the series, we're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer, okay? It's our sixth and final action step. And I know some of you are starting to squirm a little bit, like, oh man, we're talking about the prayer thing today, man. I don't know about that, you know? You're going to make me do some weird stuff or anything. Just relax, okay? And in fact, to take the pressure out of the room a little bit, I thought I would use one of the most famous and brilliantly done prayers in all of Hollywood. And maybe my friend Greg can kind of make you feel a little bit more at home. Here's Greg. Oh my goodness, yeah. So hey, just relax. So maybe you feel like Greg the male nurse a little bit there, you know. Just relax. Prayer can be uncomfortable and awkward, yeah, I know, to say the least. But literally, it is the most important aspect of what God has gifted us with in so many different ways. See, we've been talking about this Life on Mission thing, and it's really, really important that we finish up our series talking about where we as Christians get our power from. It's where we get our power. But as we've been talking about, that we're in what kind of business? We are in the what business? Okay, we're going to start from week one again, people. All right. We are in the witness business, all right? Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he says, you will be my church witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We've talked about how important it is that God has placed this right here, right now, that this is our time that he has called us to. And it wasn't by accident that we weren't called to impact this world because we were called to impact this world because we are at a critical time where so many people don't know about Jesus, and he's given us the opportunity to be his hands and feet to be able to do that for him. And we've talked about this in scripture a lot along the ways, and we've used Matthew 9 as kind of our founding scriptures here. And in Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, we read this, that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So Jesus hung out with all the people that nobody said he should hang out with. And all the crowds that were around him that no one had time for, he took time to be able to spend with them. But there's a key aspect of the scripture that's important as we walk through it. And to continue on, he says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd, like a sheep without a shepherd. That's the thing. And he said to the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. That's what he says. So again, if the harvest was plentiful back in Jesus' day, what do you think it is for us now? What do you think we're up against now? But the good thing is that he didn't stop there. I mean, he asked, so what should we be doing? And I mean, the disciples could have huddled up at that point. He could have brought them together and he could have said, hey, let's all put our hands in and say, you know, gospel on three or something really manly like that. But he doesn't. He doesn't. What does he tell them right after that? And it says right here, it says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then he said, for pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his field. The power for our mission comes from prayer. Right before Jesus tells them that they're going to be his witnesses, he says something very important. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, we read these words from him. And in Acts chapter 1, we'll read them together up on the screens. He says, then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom in Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what happened to the early church? They got the power. That's what happened. They waited for the power, and as a result of that, they changed the world. The mission is not going to be accomplished by our power. We need some help. Now, I don't know if you guys have known this, but this whole Star Wars thing is starting to get really exciting again. The Star Wars, The Force Awakens, we have a woo for that. All right, Star Wars Awakens is coming up. People are already camping outside of movie theaters in full Wookiee costumes trying to get tickets to this thing. I mean, it's going to be nuts. But Star Wars was a big deal for me too growing up. I know, we had Star Wars in South Dakota. I know, amazing that it actually spread there. But my brothers and I, we used to play lightsabers together, you know, and we would, my best friend Rob and I would ride our bikes like we were the Millennium Falcon and everything like that. And my brother, we'd make him be Yoda because he was the smallest, you know. And, you know, the counseling is really working for him. So it's fine. He's doing no big deal at all. But I even remember taking my grandpa to the Return of the Jedi movie when it was in the theater, like in the movie theater. And if you remember, like there was this beginning scene of the movie where Luke drops down into this pit while he's visiting Jabba the Hutt, and he was there to rescue Han Solo because he was in the carbonite coffin that he got in the end of Empire Strikes Back. It sounds a lot more nerdy when you say it out loud. I'm just going to say that like right now, like there's a lot going on. So I need to like watch football real quick or something just to man up. But I remember that. So anyway, my grandpa and I, we went to the movie theater and Luke gets dropped down into the pit and this big like monster thing that was down there, he like kills everything. That was kind of his deal. But like I said, I had seen this movie actually before with my mom had taken me. So when it got to that part, I kind of tugged on my grandpa's leg and said, Grandpa, it's okay if you hide under the seat with me because during the scary part, Mom said it was okay. So my grandpa and I like tucked down behind the seat. It was awesome. But if you remember, Luke isn't just a normal dude, is he? No, he's a Jedi. That means that he's tapped into the Force. That you remember. But the witness thing earlier, you just totally like, boom, you know? Crying out loud, people. My gosh. Bring it together. Okay, the force is the stuff that makes it's like a Jedi mojo. You remember? Like that's how his lightsaber changed and all that stuff, and he could move stuff with his mind, and that, and a Yoda was on his back and all that stuff. But it was his power source. You remember? Okay, so let me pull out of nerd land just for a little bit and explain exactly what I'm trying to say here, okay? Sometimes we look at prayer as this weird thing that only super spiritual people do. But the problem is that throughout the New Testament, we see that the prayer is the leading ingredient, the most important ingredient in all the amazing things that God did through his people. We see that Jesus even prayed as well too. Even when the crowds were heavy and he was healing people and all kinds of things were going around, scripture tells us that in Luke chapter 5, he says, but often, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus would make a point to slip away and recharge with the Father, to tap back into the Force, back into the power. Now, that's great. You know, that's an awesome thing. But also what Jesus did is that he did it in a way that the disciples would kind of see him doing it. In other words, they would know that he had gone off to pray somewhere. But in fact, one day the disciples finally said, man, we gotta ask what's going on here. We gotta figure this whole thing out. So they finally kind of slow Jesus down and they get him alone and they decide to ask him to teach them something. Well, what was it? Luke 11 kind of gives us an idea. Luke 11 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. I'd be like, Lord, man, would you teach me how to do the water and the wine thing, man? That was pretty cool, you know? Or like, teach me how to cast out demons or to walk on water, you know, all those kind of the cool things. But they knew that underneath the power, underneath all of the stuff that Jesus did was prayer. That's where the guts of it came from. And they wanted to know how to pray. And I think our world also is wondering that same question. Because you and I both know that we come across people when they're most vulnerable and they're most broken down. They turn to prayer even if they don't know what they're doing, don't they? I mean, I found this clip from the movie Gravity that I think it articulates it so well as far as what people are feeling when they're longing for that connection, but they don't know how to do it. Take a look. So why is it so important to know how to pray? William Carey actually says it best. He says that prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. See, prayer is the foundation of our connection with God. Prayer is where we allow the Spirit to take root in our lives, and we have this filter in our lives that filters our deepest desires, that it filters it through Christ, and then on the other side of the filter is the purest desires of our heart is on the other side of that filter. Through prayer, we find out who we are to become in Christ and also what Christ would have us to do. It's where we get the directions for our mission from. Nothing is more powerful than that. Nothing is more powerful than God Himself impressing on our souls His will for our life. Nothing is more powerful than that. And that is why the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples are saying, teach us how to pray, how to tap into the force. And I'm sure at that moment, this is like a big deal to Jesus. Because listen, the disciples that he had were not the sharpest knives in the drawer, y'all. They just weren't, okay? So for them finally to ask a question that was right, he has to be saying, finally, we're getting somewhere. Jeez, beats, thank you. And you'll see that without the Holy Spirit, we really aren't on mission. We have to know that. We're kind of like glorified girls and Boy Scouts without the matching uniforms and badges. That's what we are. We do a lot of things, but it's at the gut level of it. It's really for us instead of it being for Christ's sake. We're on mission because we are led by the Spirit. The late A.W. Tozer has such powerful words. He says that if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on. And nobody would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. That's about the force right there. That's about the power. And that's why I think our witness business is not so good. In the church, it's just not that good because we start doing things before we wait for the power. And I want us to look at this idea through the lens of Jesus and the words that he gave to the early church. So what I would love for you to do is turn to Acts chapter 1, if you would. Acts chapter 1 in your Bibles or your Bible app. There are Bibles underneath the seats in front of you in some places. But here we're going to see how the Holy Spirit in prayer is vital to our mission for Christ. Now, Acts was actually written by this guy by the name of Luke, and the whole real reason that he wrote it was because that he wanted to write a documentation of the early church. So the stuff that was happening after Jesus had been here and how they got to be doing what they're doing in the early church. And I think it's really important for us to start there because there is where we hear some of the last words of Jesus and as he says to these disciples before he ascends back into heaven. So in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, we read these words. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So in a way, Jesus is telling the disciples not to get out in front of their skis too much. Jesus is saying just to wait for the cool stuff, wait for the power, just hang on. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and then go on mission. And it's never going to be about you. That should be so comforting to us. It's never going to be about me or about you. And for once, these guys actually listen. And because of that, some powerful, powerful things happen. In fact, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2 now, and you flip over. And we're going to look at verse 1 here and kind of walk through some powerful things that happen. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So what we read here is how the church got started, what happened when they waited for the power. And people were saying that the church literally started. Guys, this is so cool. That the church actually started with a fireball. Did you catch that? That's pretty sweet. Like a fireball happened and the church started. This was pre-CGI or pre-3D movies and all that stuff. This was just straight up God stuff, like right out of the box, right in front of them. And they were blown away. There was a wind coming down and fire coming down, and they were sitting on top of their heads, but it wasn't catching them on fire. But the first thing, and this allows us, the first thing that we see that the Spirit does for us as we enter into it is that it gives us the power to do the impossible. Being in the Spirit allows us to do the impossible. The apostles were actually preaching in a language that they didn't even understand by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where the Christian train starts to kind of get off the tracks and go down a crazy town a little bit if you let it. Because sometimes you'll run into people that will say they speak in tongues, and they'll point back to this verse as the reason that they do it. Now, I don't have all the time in the world to be able to unpack why exactly that's not the reason that you can start speaking garbledygook whenever you want to. But at the very least, we see key elements of the gift of the Spirit that were given to them here. First of all, the word for tongues here is in the Greek is glossa, and it actually means the language or dialect used by a particular people group, basically their language. It was distinct from other people. So the language that the disciples were actually speaking are known languages. It's not some made-up language that they created in the moment. Secondly, to prove this point, Luke later says that the people that approached the men as they were talking in this different language is that they could detect it was their language they were speaking. It was their language because it was a known language, so they were able to understand it. So again, we see that this was a known language, but it was foreign to the men speaking it. What was also key was that someone was able to interpret what they were saying. They were approved the words that they were being said so that people could understand them. I think that is so key to prayer. We can't use prayer as this tool that weirds everybody out and forces them away. We just can't do it. It should be used to introduce them to a God that loves them and wants to know them intimately. A God that wants to have a relationship with them and wants them to have a normal personal conversation with him as well too. Prayer should always be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to speak right to their hearts without any weird interference. But as we've heard about in this story, though, wouldn't it have been awesome to be able to have done that? Like, wouldn't it have been awesome to be able to all of a sudden understand Spanish? Or all of a sudden you understand German? Or maybe you can, like, start to understand teenager? Like, wouldn't that be amazing to understand that? That would be amazing. But here's why it's important to me. The first two things that happened, the whole wind and fire thing, those were signs. But the speaking in another language was there so that they could literally communicate with another group of people that they normally would not be able to have communicated with. That's pretty powerful. In fact, the word that Jesus uses for power there in the Greek is dunamis. And dunamis is where we get the word dynamite from, meaning it's an explosive power. When the Holy Spirit is unleashed upon these people, it's crazy. And it was more than just like a Rosetta Stone type of miracle. It was even more powerful than that. See, Peter, the guy that denied Jesus just a few days ago and ran off like a scaredy pants, all of a sudden he's preaching a powerful sermon that people start to realize that there's something that they need to do, something powerful within them. Let's read these words from Peter as we hear what happens after he starts preaching. Jump to verse 37 and we read these words. It says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.'" Let me just say this. There is no way that Peter would have been able to do that without the Holy Spirit. No way. This is the Peter, again, that denied Jesus and ran for his life and started to hide for his safety when things started to go crazy when Jesus died. But Peter wasn't alone. There's not one time when Jesus was referring to the disciples that he said, "Man, you guys are awesome. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Your faith is just rocking." No, never once. He was always asking them, "Hey, why do you have such little faith? Why do you doubt all the time? Can't you get more faith?" In fact, do you remember how many disciples were at the cross when Jesus was dying? I mean, even though Jesus told them everything was going to happen, he's going to die, he's going to raise again, how many days it was going to be, one out of 12 of those guys was there. Only John. He was it. Where was everybody else? They were hiding out, trying to make sure they didn't die because they were in fear of the Jews. Had they not seen the resurrected Jesus Christ and received the Holy Spirit, they still would be hiding somewhere. They'd be on a fishing boat somewhere where it would be safe. But when the Holy Spirit starts to work in their lives and in our lives, there's no telling what God can do through us. Boy, Francis Chan, he wrote this book called The Forgotten God, and in it he has this powerful, powerful quote. He says, "The epistles tell us of the Holy Spirit's amazing work in us and our supernatural ability to put sin to death through him and the supernatural gifts that he gives us. If we read and believe these accounts, we would expect a great deal of the Holy Spirit. He would not be the mostly forgotten member of the Godhead whom we occasionally give a nod of recognition to, which is what he's become in most American churches. We would expect our new life with the Holy Spirit to look radically different than our old life without him." That's what happened to Peter and the rest of the disciples. They looked and acted radically different with their new life in Christ after they allowed the Holy Spirit to lead them. You see, sometimes we think, well, I'm not a pastor, you know, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a disciple, I can't do all those things. Well, neither could they. Neither could they. Jesus said that when you get the power, then you can do those things. My friends, the Holy Spirit is available. The power is available. You just need to tap into it. See, look what happens at the church as a result of this power being coming on Peter and him being bold in it. We read in verse 40, it says, "With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Guys, do you know that in this world right now, there are 2.6 billion people that call themselves Christians? Did you know that there are only 3,000 tribes that haven't heard the gospel message? Only 3,000. Christianity is the largest religion in the world, isn't it, right? I mean, how did that happen, though? It happened through the Holy Spirit and through people who let the Holy Spirit use them. That's how that happened. Peter gets up and preaches this amazing sermon about repent and be baptized. Nice, easy, soft words, right? But you know what happened? 3,000 people came to Christ that day. They didn't sign a card. They didn't put their hand in their way. They just got down. They got baptized right then, right there. But by the time that we get to Acts chapter 4, and they start counting people differently, no more women and children were counted, we find out that 5,000 men had become Christians just a few chapters later. That meant that was probably around 20,000 men, women, and children that just in a few months had now become a Christian. It's crazy. It says that they just kept going, and that with great power, the apostles continued to preach and teach and tell people about this Jesus that had given them grace. And as we find it, by the time they get to Acts chapter 8, it says that 100,000 believers in the church were part of the church in Jerusalem. 100,000. There were only 200,000 people in all of Jerusalem at that time. That meant that half the people that were in Jerusalem were part of the church of Jesus Christ. Half of them in just a short few months. How did that happen? Not by brilliant teaching or preaching. It's not by great men of faith. It was for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was allowing them to do that, which is available to us too. But can I tell you this? You can't do it. You can't, but the Spirit of God can. The Spirit of God can. And it isn't a one-time refill kind of deal. You know, it's not like that. It's an everyday I need the Holy Spirit moment so I can't, because I know I can't do it myself. Dwight L. Moody once was asked the question, "How come you keep asking to be filled by the Holy Spirit? How come?" His answer, "Because I leak." Anybody else leak? I leak all the time. All the time. That's why I need to go back every day to ask the Lord to refill me, to fill me back up. That's what prayer is for. It gives me the power. It gives me my Holy Spirit refill each and every day. Prayer gives us the power to do the impossible, but it also gives us the power to know the truth, to know the truth. This is so, so important. Here's two things that the Spirit will do for us when it comes to knowing the truth. Number one, it will teach us all things. It will teach us all things. And the second thing is, it will remind you of everything that Jesus said to you. It will remind us of everything Jesus has said us, told us to do. Now, this doesn't mean that you somehow like lay back and let it just kind of soak in like you're doing like an upgrade on your phone. You just wait and all of a sudden you're like back to your Holy Spirit powered up. But it also doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. I told you one of the most freeing things in this whole thing called Life on Mission is to say the words, "I don't know." It's so comforting. That's really as simple as it is. When all the stuff starts coming at you, the hard questions, just say, "I don't know." It's really all there is to it. But what if the Holy Spirit could be like our supernatural cheat sheet? Like what if the Holy Spirit could kind of like remind us of things when we weren't even thinking of it? And maybe the Holy Spirit could speak through you in ways that you didn't even think possible. And for those of us that have tapped into the Holy Spirit, we've experienced this before, where we might quote a verse that we didn't even know we remembered, or you might remember something that I said or another pastor said, or you might start saying words that you don't even know are like in your mouth, and you're like, that's some good stuff. Where'd that come from? That was the Holy Spirit. And this isn't to weird anybody out. I'm not trying to do that, but it truly happens. And that's the way that you know that the Spirit is active in your life. And the final thing that prayer will do, and the Holy Spirit will do, it will give you the power to be an effective witness. It will give you the power to be an effective witness. What should I pray for? Fortunately, Paul tells us in Colossians 4, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. That's it. That's the one thing we could pray for, that God would open an opportunity for us to spread the good news, to tell people about him, to tell the whole reason that we're here. I'm supposed to be a witness to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers, to the people around me, to those I have a relationship with. We're supposed to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And you know what will happen when you start praying this way? You'll start seeing opportunities all over the place. God will open your eyes a little bit wider to those things that are around that you might have missed before. But then it's up to us to act. It's up to us to act. Now, there's a couple of action steps that I've given you to kind of help with kind of talking about the good news this week. And so I've listed those in your bulletin. And the first thing is, it's called a prayer walk. What do I mean? I mean, you walk and you pray, like around your neighborhood. That's what we want to do. Or walk around your cubicle and start praying with praying around that. Now, listen, don't like lay hands on the cubicle next to you or go to your house. Don't be weird, okay? Like I told you from the beginning, just don't be weird. You screw the whole thing up, okay? Don't do it. Just walk around and pray. That's so, so important, right? We've talked about this whole idea of we've come to the backyard and we connect with people. We get to know them a little bit and we barbecue first. Then the next thing we do is that we serve them. We bring them inside the house and we just kind of just serve them for whatever it's worth. Then share, we get around the table and we start talking and we have a chance to share our faith and what God has done in our life. And then finally we grow. We kind of show them how to cook, how to feed themselves, how they can be discipled and be with Christ. But the thing that undergirds the whole deal is prayer. It's the thing we do at the beginning, it's the thing we do at the end, and in the middle. We have to be doing that at all times. See, my friend and mentor Dave Stone said this. He said, I found that when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't. That's good. Invite God to be part of your day before your feet even hit the floor. Here's challenge number two. I want you to set your alarm to 10:02. In fact, I want you to calendar in 10:02. At 10:02, I want you to pray. And that's from Luke 10, verse 2. It's kind of the whole idea of the harvest and the workers. That's Luke's version of that. So I want you to take your cell phones out, and I want you to schedule that in right now. Listen, I know you're looking at Facebook. I can see the glow off your face. Okay, so just go ahead and do it, right? I want you to schedule in 10:02 every day. And I want you to write in there just maybe the word pray right in there. You might just choose one of them. Maybe you just do 10:02 in the morning, or maybe you go varsity and you do both of them. I don't know how you roll, but you get AM and PM you can do. But just a quick prayer. Hey, maybe God, just keep me on mission, or God, would you show me somebody that I should be praying for right now or talking with? Just do that. 10:02 every day. See what happens. And the third thing, I want you to invite people to Crossroads. And here's a couple of invitations, easy invitations for you to do. The first is that we have Brian Head Welch coming next week. Y'all, it's going to be crazy here, okay? I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be nuts. But his story is so powerful, and what he's doing now with what God has called him to do in places that people don't even think he should be is unbelievable. So you want to invite your friends to this. You've got a card in your bulletin again. There are posters out there that you can take and hang up places. But Brian is going to be here, and it ain't candy corn, right? This is corn, hardcore corn. This is amazing what Brian's going to share with you, and we want as many people in here as possible. Again, I want the fire marshal to be a little uncomfortable about how many people are in here, right? Let's go crazy with it. But the second thing is that we work very hard to have something after that. So another way for you to invite people that might be far from God. And the series is called Yeah, But. Yeah, but here's why we called it that. Because you know that when you have conversations with people, especially when you start talking about God, it always gets this way, doesn't it? Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? Yeah, but what about this? Well, we wanted to create a series where we can answer some of those questions. So we're going to have, yeah, but why is Christianity the only way? Yeah, but why do bad things happen to good people? Yeah, but what about the Bible? Is that whole thing true? We want to give you a chance to be able to invite people that are asking these questions to come and hear the truth of what God's got. These are tools for you to be able to do things. Because see, at some point, you're going to have an opportunity to invite someone from the backyard into your inner circle, in your inner circle, and be able to have real conversations with them. And at some point, I want you to be able to be bold enough to say, hey, listen, I believe in God. Can I pray for you? Do you mind if I pray for you right now? You know, I've got this goofy thing. My pastor said at 10:02, I'm supposed to pray for people. So can I pray for you right now? And would that be okay? I mean, that's the whole idea. And when we do that, it says two things to people. Number one, it says that I care about your pain. And number two is that I believe in a God that cares about your pain too. That's what it's saying. It says that I care for you and I believe in a God that cares for your pain too. What do you think would happen if we did that? Like what would happen in our community? The Bible says that God wants to do immeasurably more than we can even think or imagine. Imagine what he would do with that type of faith. Francis Chan, I think, has one of the best quotes when it comes to this. He says, I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit. I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit. I want that. You want that. I want people to look at my life and say that there's no way that that was possible under his own power. No way. I want to live my life in such a way that I am in such desperate need of him to come through that if he doesn't come through, I am toast. That's what I want. Desperately. But that's only possible by us believing in the power of the Spirit and then accessing that through the gift of prayer. Let me challenge you something with a question. If last week God answered all of your prayers, everything that you said to him and asked of him, he answered for you, he answered, just blanket, answered everything, how many people would know Jesus as a result of those? See, Crossroads, let's see what happens when we start praying with a different kind of boldness, with a boldness that we believe that what Jesus said is true, that the Holy Spirit is powerful and he's still working. We can do it, but only by God's strength every step of the way. We can do that. Let our minds be transformed. Let our spirits be transformed. Let God do something amazing in your life that you never thought possible. Let's pray together. Mighty God and Father, we come before you with this simple request that our lives would matter, that we would be worth something because you said that we are worth something. In fact, said that we are so valuable that you would die for us, that you would go through the pain of the cross so that we would never have to experience life apart from you. Lord, but you've also been so generous to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was in you that is now within us. Lord, that is powerful. And we could see what you've done in this world as we read through your scripture and your word, what you have done as a result of that Spirit, and we want that too. Give us a boldness though, a boldness that goes beyond our fear and our anxiety and trust in you in all things. Lord Jesus, you can do that. Holy Spirit, you can guide us through it. We thank you for that. Help us to be on mission for you in Jesus' name, amen. So listen, we are at the end of the series. It was amazing, wasn't it? It really was amazing, right? I mean, awesome stuff, awesome stuff. And I've seen so many people grow and do things beyond what they possibly could have done. I've seen growth groups that have exploded with great conversations and excitement. And I feel that we are on the verge of a revival here in our community. I really believe that. And we've talked about connecting and serving and sharing and growing and all these things and praying. But now, listen, now it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us to do something with what we know. The toothpaste is out of the tube, man. It can't go back in. That's just how it's going to be. There's no going back. And I know it might seem scary, but let me just tell you that God is going to do something huge through you, huge through you. And as a church, we are going to be ready to usher in whatever God has to bring our way. We will be ready because we are going to be a church on mission for Christ and welcoming home the prodigal with open arms. That's what we will be all about. That is what Crossroads will be about. Now, I found this video. So I think it is perfect for what a lot of people are probably feeling. Like you probably feel like you're at the top of this hill called mission and you just are wondering like, should I do it? Should I not do it? What should I do? And you're starting to freak out a little bit. But let me just tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it every step of the way, every step forward in faith. It is worth it because God will multiply that faith more than you've ever thought, and great things will happen. Let's do this, church. Let's do this together. So here we go. That's what I'm talking about, church. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen, every week I stand up here and I've said, hey, tag your it when you leave. And you're probably like, what is that weirdo saying that for? You know, does he have issues? Yes, I do. But here's the deal. Tag your it means this. Every week you come in here, you'll tag us and we will tell the story of the gospel and all of the goodness of God to your friends, your family, to you, whoever. But when you leave here, I tag you. And then it's your job to go out into the world and do something with what you've heard. Every week will be a tag for mission for you. You guys, we can do this. The world is going to be different because of what we've done and what we've heard and what we know. So be ready. Get on those skis and go down the hill because it's going to be worth every scream along the way. It'll be fantastic. You guys are awesome. Let's just pray together and be prepared for what God's going to do. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we stand in your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, may it not just finish on us. May we share it with others. May we just tell people of your love and your grace that has been so prevalent in our lives, Lord. Help us to do that by your strength, not ours. And Holy Spirit, guide us every step of the way. Let us see great things happen in our world because of what happened today and because of this series and because of men and women saying, I'm in, I'm ready to go. Lord, you are awesome and worthy of our praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done in our lives. It's in your beautiful and holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Tag your it.